Parisian Sparkle, talking from Federumbri this morning. Let me say first why I took inspiration from the Benetton family and campaigns for this campaign to encourage veterans to reach for help. I will tell you the short story about talk therapy in a while. Benetton in my youth and childhood was a model, not only because I loved the colorful clothes. Since I'm in France, since 12 years by now, I noticed this change in manufacturing of Benetton. I was quite disappointed with quality, because you can see in 4 years by now there is a real big change in their products. I'm not here to question the Benetton family from a social politic point of view, or the damages that they might have done to the Argentinian countryside. I'm just considering the cultural and social role model, or their social impact, their campaigns from the 80s, 90s. So their campaigns were controversial advertising, which touched the collective unconscious, for example, children, any colors. You can see in one picture there is a white child dressed like an angel together with a black child, Afro-American origins. Two horns on his head, playing demon and angel. So you can see politicians kissing each other, any origins, and the most effective or the one most shocking maybe was a priest kissing a nun. Perhaps the priest was even a black priest, I can't remember. They played with origins, identity, and diversity. This age is done, is the shock advertising, as they call it, made his era. But today they choose, I was just reading in an article, I'm not here to advertise in Benetton anyway. Marketing today is close for humans, is called. Their target is emotions and moments in everyday life and to get more real. So you can see, for example, in one picture there is this lady with short hair taking a selfie in a nice Benetton dress, all striped like marinera. Actually, one of the main reasons why they went on the brink is because marks, trademarks like Zara or H&M took the leap. They are more fashionable and quite affordable, cheap. I'm a shopper. I have been a great shopper in my past years when I had money. Benetton, they had their style. You could buy a skirt or trousers, the full outfit to go for an interview, to work in the hotels, in a bureau. It was very classical, but a sure value. Your negative thoughts dance bachata and mambo in your head, and you can't just control them if you don't do any exercise and any practice. I've tried everything. They call them spiritual practices. They might be also mindful exercises. I've started with 10 minutes in the morning, which is my actual practice. Just focusing on my breath in the morning, being grateful, feeling ready to go after a night of good sleep. Just being, taking the time to just be. And this is my fifth time in my day. This was life-changing, especially in the way I communicate with others and the response that I get from others. Mindfulness is top for your connection with yourself and with others. That's just a first step for a better life, right? For your being relationship. The talk therapy helped the first veterans. Oh, well, veterans. They were in service, actually. So the saddest part of this is that when they started to get better, they were sent back to the front. At this time, Freud says there was a conflict between this peace self, which understood that he was going to die, he didn't want to, and the war self, who was the sabotaging, who left in the first for fighting. There is this image that I have of soldiers who can't hold their guns anymore because there is this conflict, ethical conflict inside. What the hell are they doing there? This was their soul calling. Unfortunately, at the First World War, the victims of shell shock were shot at dawn. I have an idea that there is sort of karma that we are facing now from our ancestors. Perhaps there is some truth, like PTSD anyway, are a sort of karmic debt that we have to pay, the resolve, accept and listen. It's telling us something. These disorders have a message. I went to my therapist the last time, the third time, it was very quick. The second was very quick. Just once was fine, was enough. I needed a non-judgmental person who kept neutral and made me feel comfortable, and we had a good feeling. When I met her the first time, shaking hands like they do in France, she said, okay, I can meet you, just because it was the occupational medicine that was in partnership with this service, which was free for me. I didn't really want to pay any therapist, except I really need it. So I took this chance. She was very honest, told me, okay, I can get you up to 5 times and we can see what we can do. Wow, 5 seances, it was really enough. I actually met her up to 4 times the time of the most horrifying attacks in Paris, and I had pity for her. Also lost a job mate at the same time. I was feeling so bad inside that I had this feeling of pity for her, not to put more heavy stuff on her back. I was considering, she came from a distance, she had 1.5 hours to get to the office and receive me. She had a family with children, she probably was touched from the attacks. She was living the same trauma. For me, it was enough. I've learned things with her. I was exploring different therapies. We were just talking, and it was a nice conversation, and we went some deeper also. Never went to personal stuff. We didn't talk about my childhood. We didn't talk about my trauma. The point of talk therapy is that you have the keys in your hand. Don't expect the people who are disappointed from therapy, don't expect they give you a solution. It's up to you to find your solution, because we are all different. We are unique. Therapists are there to mirror what is inside of you and eventually let it come out, put on the table, and what we can do for that. When you close the door and go back home, go for a walk, just unwind your mind. Time that you are alone with yourself and you can create. The enlightenment comes when you are alone in your sacred space. But the fact that you went and talked with somebody who is a professional counselor that is there just to listen, and the true listen is I accept what you are saying with no judgment. I have respect of it, and it's not for me, it's not for the therapist to take charge of it. Otherwise, you would be overwhelmed and burn out, like some therapists do, because they cannot just take no more. Or they can, you see, depends also your personal life. But if you are not there to put your burden, your therapist, this fact, express yourself finally, because until that moment it was all inside and worked inside. Against you, it's out. And this is a part of the therapy. Then of course there are there is your creativity, there is your exercising, it is your breath in any sort of activities. And in my case, it's also to put, to find a purpose and share, not keep for yourself. Your pain has to be healed. There is only one. The purpose of pain in this case is to be healed. And there is a hidden message in this healing, because pain has a task. Pain is not coming to our life for fun. There is a specific meaning in pain that we have to listen. It's up to you to take charge of your pain. If it is too much, alcohol, I promise, can't help. It can mend, and then it worsens the issue. It's up to you. You choose alcohol, okay, go for it. Go to mattress with the alcohol. Take your car, crush yourself, crush other people. That's your choice. I cannot congratulate you. I'm very careful with alcohol. When I go for a supermarket, alcohol is everywhere. I like wine. I like super alcohol. I like aperitif beers. I'm a fan of Belgian beers. How can I tell you? Please don't drink any more alcohol. Go away. Please don't abuse alcohol. Please don't mix alcohol with meds, painkillers, any sort of pills. This is suicidal and stupid, but it's your choice. Wait a minute, it's your choice. People, they say, oh, they were not conscious because they took meds and alcohol and drugs, so it wasn't their fault, okay? So they weren't mentally sane to make a conscious choice. Sure, that was too late. Your choice is when you are still sane enough to take a fourth, fifth drink and meds. And it's before, of course, we are, or we wouldn't be here talking. It's your lifestyle. I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to tell you I am the Bible and Jesus says that you're not good. You're not a good fellow. You're not doing well, and you won't get any gifts for Christmas this year. I don't give a damn what you do with your health, life, and choices. I'm here to tell you my story. The painkillers and alcohol took a life 1 year ago. He was one of my friends, even though we didn't get along quite well in the last period that I've been working with him. We have been in the same team for 6 years, and we have spent time together. And I know that perhaps if I would talk with him about going to see a therapist, so it wouldn't have done any difference. But I don't know, because I never did. I never took the chance. Basically, I didn't give a damn. It was very dark, and all the stories that came out from his mouth were suicidal, murder, killed. I wasn't listening because I was preserving myself and my sanity. But when you know something, when you know someone that unconsciously took their life, you cannot just hold on doing the same things that you did, because any of the activity that you endure will have another perfume. And you know that, and you get jealous because this person now knows or not. Perhaps he's just going back to the cycle, start again and live again same pain and maybe worse. He failed in this life, so now he lost, like in a video game. He lost his game, and now perhaps, hopefully, he gets another life, do it all again, over again. I hope this advertising is shocking, but it won't be enough, I guess. Perhaps I'm better as a writer than a speaker. Talking therapy can save lives. At least can give you the chance to make something, to take action for yourself. I guess this is minimum, the lesson that you can do for yourself. Thank you for listening.